First of all, thank God for a very successful trip to Melbourne. Off on Tuesday, back on Thursday, and the Lord enabled and granted the opportunity for me to speak to a group of students on Tuesday night. This is called the City Gospel Fellowship. Why city? Because our church is about half an hour away from the city. And the city is where the tertiary institutions are, the universities, the colleges, and there is a group, about 30 to 40, including some of the people from here and Jurong. And they are in that fellowship, and we are ministering there. So on Tuesday night, they drove me straight from the airport to the meeting, and I was there about 8:30. It was a good fellowship. The next day, we went to see the property. Well, you can read about it in the day to come. A property which has 5 buildings on 80,000 square feet of land. And the 5 buildings are all ready to use. A sanctuary very similar to this, only smaller. And you can take 200 downstairs and 100 upstairs. So our congregation today is about 130, 40, 50. So it is just right. Anyhow, whether it is available or not, we shall know in the next 2 weeks. Because it is in by process of tender. Tender meaning to say you write what you think you would like to pay for the property, seal it in an envelope, put it to the agents, and then there will be other people also interested and see who gets it. Pray. Because that church, the Ebenezer Church, has been without a sanctuary to worship for 7 years. They've been looking, and this time it looks very promising. Will you please pray? By the way, thank you all for praying for your two pastors. Pray that we will stand and not waver. Pray that you will stand and not waver. So thank all of you. Some have written, and I thank you for writing. And some have given, although we never asked, but I say the Lord has laid on your heart. And I thank all those who have done so. We are all in the same mortal conflict. And the time will come. God will show us His way. Amen. Now, today's topic, if you please turn again to 1 Samuel chapter 17. This chapter turns our minds back to the time of King Saul, a chapter which is rather sad in the history of the Jewish people. It began one day with great gloom, trepidation, fear, but it ended in victory, rejoicing, and jubilation. What happened? Please look at verse 11 of chapter 17. We want to have a clear understanding of what happened that day. And when you understand that, you know that the same God who worked so mightily on that day is our God, the same God whom we adore and worship today. Verse 11. Now this is a very sad verse. 1 Samuel 17:11 says, when Saul and all Israel heard the words of Goliath, the champion of the Philistines, they were dismayed and greatly afraid. Verse 24 further explains, and all the men of Israel, when they saw Goliath, they fled and were sore afraid.
Pause a while and think, dear friends. There is the king. He is the leader. And all his people, the generals and lieutenants around him. And when this man of the Philistines appeared and taunted them and jeered them and provoked them and challenged, what did they do? King and people were so afraid, trembling, and they fled from him. Goliath was no ordinary giant. Do you know how tall he was? According to the record here, he was about 10 feet plus. And the armor that he wore weighed 150 pounds. Is more than the weight of most of us here. And he came and he challenged, and there was no answer to this man, not king, not people. What had happened? For an answer, I turn you back to one chapter. Chapter 16, verse 14. Why was it king and people had no answer? Why were they shivering? Why were they cowed and depressed? Verse 14. Here is the answer to the problem. And this is the answer to all our problems when we disobey God. Verse 14. But the Spirit of the Lord departed from Saul, and an evil spirit from the Lord troubled him. Oh, my friends, when the head of the church is unable to handle a situation because the Spirit of God has left him, it is a very sad situation. The head of the people of Israel, Saul, was a disobedient servant. Again, we want to remember the verses we recited last week and the week before. Remember that. Chapter 15, verses 22 and 23. Alright, just back one page. The last part of verse 22 tells us what was the cause of Saul's panic and his complete inability to lead his people. Verse 22, the last part. Behold, Saul is for your attention. To obey is better than sacrifice. No use to come and tell Samuel, I have kept all these good animals for sacrifice. That is not what God wants today. God wants obedience, not sacrifice. You sacrifice only after you have obeyed. And out of gratitude to God, you sacrifice. But God is not after that sacrifice. Then, verse 23. This is the problem with Saul, the king. Verse 23 says, rebellion is the sin of witchcraft. It's as though you're dabbling with witchcraft, trying to get help from occult sources. How sad. He did. Eventually he did. Because the Spirit of the Lord had left this disobedient man. Here, draw a lesson, dear friends. The best gift of God to all of us is His own Spirit. The Lord Jesus says, you being evil as parents know how to give good gifts. You do not need any kind of help or tuition. All of us parents give our best to children. Then that verse goes on to say, how much more will God the Heavenly Father give to you the best gift, the Holy Spirit? Why was Saul in that situation of panic and fear? Because the Holy Spirit had left him. And second part of verse 23, stubbornness is iniquity and idolatry. Saul, you are the king. Your people ask for you. Your people rejected Samuel, and they rejected me. This is precisely the cause of the problem on that day. Israel was looking to people. Well, all the nations got a king. We don't have a king. Let's have a king. Maybe we need that to boost our morale and to save us against these deadly enemies. Who are they? Philistines. Who are the Philistines? Has it ever occurred to you? According to the historians, the Philistines are a warlike people who came from the Isle of Crete, right, somewhere in the Mediterranean. Yeah. And they had settled in Canaan even before Abraham was there. So they had a long history. And for some reason, Joshua did not subdue them. They escaped. And now they become a thorn in the side of Israel. Who are they? Philistines. Almost like today's situation, the Palestinians. A thorn in the side. You cannot get rid of them. On this day, Goliath came out and taunted and challenged and jeered and sneered at the Israelis. What can you do? Look, let's not talk about mass warfare. Let us have a contest. Only I against your champion come out. Now this was the challenge. And when Israel heard it, they were all shivering. King and people, simply because the Spirit of God had left them. Verse 24 of chapter 17 again, please. Hear all the men of Israel, when they saw the man, fled from him, and were sore afraid, and into this scene came a young man. David. God raised this young man for such a time as this. How did he come to be on the scene? The father, on that day, I would say he was moved of the Spirit of God. He was thinking, I have three sons on the battlefront. I want to know how they are getting on. What shall I do? Now, listen carefully. This is how God works. Through a normal, commonplace incident, because Jesse was concerned about his three sons, the eldest three, who were with the army. How are they getting on? David was the youngest, the unappreciated one, who is always doing the menial things. And he was left back there looking after sheep. So, Jesse called to David, go now and see how your three brothers are getting on. And go and get news. Bring them some provision. They need this for the fight. So there you are. David is sent on an errand of father, not knowing that it was the hand of God. For in the previous chapter we had read, because Saul was rejected, God said to Samuel, raise up another one. I have a man, David, unknown, only a shepherd boy, but he is the man I have chosen. Alright, I want to refresh your memory on this because it is very relevant. So this is in chapter 16, verse 13. For on that day that Samuel came with the horn of oil, 16 verse 13, he called Jesse to bring out his sons, and all seven elder sons were rejected until David the eighth, unknown and unappreciated son came. Verse 13, please follow. Then Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the midst of the brethren. What is the meaning of anointing? We went through this last week. Anointing means God has set the person apart, specially for his own purpose. And the sign of anointing here is the oil. Verse 13, Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed David in the midst of his brethren. And God did the unseen part. Oil is seen, visible, but unseen. God sent his Spirit, the best gift on a man, David. Came upon David. And from that day forward, David, full of the Spirit, was able to do God's work. Now, on the day of this confrontation, God moved the father of David. Send your son. All right? For an ordinary errand. But that errand was not ordinary in God's plan. For that errand was for the salvation of the whole nation. Verse 26, please follow. And David spoke to the man that stood by him, saying, "What shall be done to the man that kills this Philistine and take away the reproach from Israel? For who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God?" Here is the man of God speaking. When God's Spirit is in you, you see things differently. You don't look at Goliath and begin to shiver, but you look to the Lord up there, the one who has called you, who has given you his Spirit, and you are a different person. So I say, dear friends, let us all make this a item of prayer. Lord, give me the fullness of the Holy Spirit. Can this be? Oh, my friends, let us not pray for mundane things, always praying for the usual shopping list of things. Let us add on. By priority, let us all at Calvary Pandan today recognize the greatest need today is that we be filled with the Spirit of God. And this is His promise. This is the offer. If you, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father give the Holy Spirit to them who ask Him? Will you please remember this? This is the lesson. This is the application. God is here to use us. But we cannot be used until we are filled with the Spirit of power. So here is David speaking. Because in his heart he knows, we are the people of God. That man Goliath belongs to an idolatrous people. And he is an enemy of God. And he is challenging the people of God, the armies of God. How dare he? You will not be able to say all this. You will not be able to stand up to him if you do not have the Spirit of God. So I ask you, dear friends, do you have the Spirit of God? Are you praying for the Spirit of God? How do you know you have the Spirit of God? Oh, dear my friends, this is a big subject, but when you hear the voice of God, when you read the Word of God, when you hear the call to give yourself to God, and you say, Amen. On the Lord's Day, first thing in the morning, you thank God. This is the Lord's Day. I must go to God's house. That is the voice of the Holy Spirit in you. When you see temptation coming your way, and you say no to it, and say, I am a child of God, I only serve the Lord, you have the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit is there always to help you to do the right, to obey God, and to shun evil, and to say no to all kinds of evil, and to recognize who are the enemies of God. You need the Holy Spirit. And David on that day, out of the sheepcote, what is he? Looking after a few sheep. Young man. And he comes to the battlefront, and the three elder brothers see him. Hey, you naughty boy. What are you doing here? This is the normal reaction. This is the way they always treat him at home. You're just the youngest one, the unwanted one. What are you doing here? Verse 28. Eliab, his eldest brother, heard him, and his anger was kindled against David. And he said, why camest thou down thither? And with whom hast thou left those few sheep in the wilderness? I know your pride. You're getting very cocky nowadays. Ever since you got anointed. I know your pride and the naughtiness in your heart, for you have come here to see the excitement of battle, of other people fighting, and you just get a kind of excitement over it. Then comes the crunch verse, and all of us to remember this verse. David said, what have I now done? Brother, what is wrong with what I've done? Firstly, I came with provision for you. I came for your sake. But now I see there is a greater issue than just providing you with some refreshments. There is that enemy that no one has got an answer to him. Not the whole army. Nobody had an answer. Even the king. They all were running away. What is the answer? Is there not a cause? God's people must have God's spirit to understand what are the issues today. Is there not a cause? Why is the church being put under pressure? Is there not a cause? What do you do in these circumstances? Here is a young man who says, is there not a cause? Are we not the people of God? Why should this uncircumcised giant, an idolater, an enemy of God, taunt us every day and we have no answer? We have been going through months of tribulation. Attacks after attacks. Is there not a cause, dear friends? Ask yourself. God's people are praying. I hope you are praying. But I say the better thing is you come on Tuesday. We have just about 10% of our people come to pray, you know. Just about 10. Supposing we have another 100 people come. Is that good? Is that not a cause? Do you feel that there is a great tribulation that we are faced with today? Come and pray, and let us see the salvation of the Lord, even as Israel that day was delivered by one man. Not the king. Not the king. Because he was disobedient. He was rebellious. He was self-willed. And God had said, I have no use for Saul, but I have another man, David. I say, dear friends, we need to pray. For we are going through a spiritual attack. And spiritual things must be countered with spiritual weapons. And the weapon today is prayer. Please pray at home. Please come on Tuesday night. I challenge you. If you are with the pastors in this time of testing and trial, come on Tuesday. Spare the 2 hours to come. And together, let's ask the Lord, on our knees, Lord, is there not a cause? Why should your church go through this kind of tribulation? Hours and hours, papers and papers, non-stop threatenings, left, right and center. Is there not a cause? Now we come back to the scene here. Who is this man David? We know God has anointed him. But what evidence is there that he is able in some way to deliver the people? Verse 32 says David was interviewed by Saul. Saul says, "Who are you?" Of course, he didn't know all about David. David says, "Let no man's heart fail because of him. Don't look at Goliath. Look up at the Lord. When the outlook is bad and black, look up. There is always an outlook where God will always open windows of blessing, windows of salvation, windows of deliverance to those who look to Him." So David says, "Let no man's heart," verse 32, "let no man's heart fail because of this Goliath. Thy servant, O King Saul, you are my king. I'm your servant. Your servant will go and fight with this Philistine." Verse 33. You remember the verse which says, "Man looks on the outward appearance, but God looks at the heart." And here Saul is looking, "Oh, who are you? What kind of experience do you have in fighting with giants?" Verse 33, Saul says to David, "You're not able to go against this Goliath to fight with him. You're but a youth, and he is a man of war. He's a great experienced person who is a warrior all his life, and you are nothing, you're just a shepherd boy. How can you fight him?" Right? No, dear friends. Victory is not by muscle power, by people power, by armaments, by horses and chariots, as we heard this morning. Some trust in chariots, some in horses, some in tanks and weapons, but we will remember the name of the Lord our God. Verse 34. Now comes the answer from David. "Saul, king, don't just write me off. Yes, I look like a nobody. But let me tell you," verse 34. David says to the king, "Your servant kept his father's sheep. There came a lion and a bear and took a lamb out of the flock. And I went after him and killed him, delivered the lamb out of his mouth. When he rose up against me, I caught him by his beard and killed him and slew him." Verse 36, "Thy servant slew both lion and bear, and this uncircumcised Philistine Goliath shall be like one of them, seeing he had defied armies of the living God." Pause and think. How could a young shepherd boy say all these things? Number one, God's Spirit was with him. Number two, his heart was moved for that patriotic feeling. My country, my people are insulted. And when my people are insulted, it is God who is insulted. How can this be? If I am a true child of God and my God is being insulted and I feel nothing, I do nothing, how can it be? Is there not a cause? So ask yourself, what ought we to do? Now this is what David says. He is defying the armies of God. Even though the army is in disarray and they're all demoralized and got no answer, but now God sends the answer. I go back to my point, dear friends. Make this your priority. Pray that God will change you. You don't think yourself as nobody or just a housewife. God can raise women to do His work, to fulfill His purpose. And God raised this young man. And you too. Can He not use you? There is a day of crisis in this church, a day of trouble, a day of perplexity, wondering what will happen. Let me tell you this. Put your faith in the Lord, and exactly what is happening here will happen. God will give the victory. Fear not. Because we are standing for the honor of God, for the word of God, for the truth, for the safety of the flock. And this is exactly what David did. He is moved. He cannot keep silent. My brothers may be scolding me. So what? But I have come here and I've seen. The scene is no good. My people are in disarray. And if you have that vision, that realization, and you have the Spirit of God, you cannot hold your peace. You cannot keep silence. So David says, look, King, I tell you, God has helped me to kill a lion and a bear who came and took a lamb out of my flock. I went for them. I killed them both. Who did it? Oh, my friends, please remember, in the anointing, the Spirit of God came upon him and filled him. You need that. We all need that. We all ought to walk with God. Search ourselves every day. Flee from all youthful lusts. Purge ourselves of all the sin, looking to God, pleading with Him, Lord, make my life pure, my heart clean, and fill me with your Holy Spirit that I can do the things you want me to do. Is there not a cause? This church must stand up and be strong for the Lord Jesus Christ and His truth. And in time to come, we can all say, praise the Lord, because we learn a lesson from David. Is there not a cause? Why should he be in the sheepcote, enjoying life quietly? No problem. Why should you send me to the war front? He never chose to go. Father sent him? Yes. But it was God's hand. I say, we all place ourselves at the disposal of God. Say, Lord, use me. In whatever way you choose to be a witness, to go, to tell others, let us go and learn this lesson. All right, verse 37. David said, moreover, the Lord delivered me out of the paw of the lion, out of the paw of the bear. He will deliver me out of the hand of this Philistine. Yes, my friend, here is the Spirit of God in this young man speaking. Yes. It's not me. It's not you. You can do nothing. Remember the Lord Jesus says in John 15:5. Remember that. I am the vine, you are the branches. And without me you can do nothing. If you are not joined to the vine, daily receiving His immense and unassailable power of God, invincible, you can do nothing. Pray. David sets us the example. Not me, King Saul. I did it. Not me, but the Spirit of God in me enable me to kill this bear and lion, and He will. This is the last part of verse 37. Please follow. He will deliver me out of the hand of the Philistine. This is a statement of absolute confidence of faith. Do you have that? If you know you're doing God's will, you can say this. If you know you're on the right, having the truth, you can say this. The Lord will deliver me. And I say, the Lord will deliver this church from the hand of this Philistine. Yes. Come and pray, dear Lord, dear friends. Pray the Lord together that He will use us. He will give us that courage. For without the Lord, we can do nothing. But with Him, that day which began with gloom, with trepidation, ended up with victory, for with one stone. Remember? The giant was brought down, and the head was cut off, and the whole nation of Israel rejoiced in that one day. How did it happen? simply because the Spirit of God came upon one man, David, and delivered the whole camp from that giant whose head was now carried in the hand of David, and all the nation came up and pursued, and the Philistines had nowhere to hide. Our God is able. Is there not a cause? Do we not have a God who is the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob? Do we not have a God who is the God of Paul and the apostles and all those who serve him in the Old Testament, New Testament times? Do we? Do you know? Oh, my friends, is there not a cause? But we must pray. Come and pray. Please come and pray. Tuesday is the night we pray together. Don't say, well, I can pray at home. I say, you can pray at home. But when Joshua was fighting the battle, there was Moses, Aaron, and Hur praying up on the mountain. That is a prayer meeting. You come and have a prayer meeting together. Is there not a cause? There is grave danger to the church. Threatening all the time. Threatening. Our God is above threatenings. May God bless us, and I would like to see more of you. Please come and let's pray together. Pray for revival. We're not so worried about this matter, but our greater concern is our people be revived from the love of the world, from the lust of the flesh, from the lust of the eyes, into a holy walk with God by the working of the Holy Spirit. Is there not a cause? Come on Tuesday. God bless you. Good. Let's all pray. Our Lord and God, may Thy Holy Spirit work in our hearts. Speak to our hearts. Open our eyes to the real challenge of the day. To know that it is the world attacking us. And we are Thy people. We have a God who is the God of victory, God of justice, God of all mercy and grace. May Thy great name be exalted. Move Thy people that we will all come and claim Thy promise and be filled with the Holy Spirit, that we will be able to do that which is well-pleasing in Thy sight. We pray this through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.